played guitar, jamming good with Webb and Gilly and the Spiders from Mars. He played it left hand, but made it too far. Became the special man, then we were Ziggy's band. Ziggy really sang, screwed up eyes and screwed down hairdo, like some cat from Japan. He could lick 'em by smiling, he could leave 'em to hang. They came on so loaded, man, well hung in snow white tan.
Good morning and welcome to the Roundtable. I'm sure on every program throughout this week and today, obviously, you're going to hear the music of David Bowie, who passed away unexpectedly, I think.
What kind of cancer, do you know?
I do not know. And I don't know how much is being announced. Ray and I were just talking about this. We were not aware that he was ill, but he passed away.
Apparently very few people were.
At 69 years old and just released a new album on Friday.
Yeah,
and so that news is coming in, and it's so.
Well, he knew he was fighting cancer.
Well, yeah,
according to the Beeb.
Yeah, we do, but I don't know. I don't think it was
anybody
made public.
Else did,
yeah,
right.
So, but it's a sad thing, and we're kind of making, you know, that one of those things where you start processing it. So we'll be playing music this morning, and we'll talk a little bit about that later on. Hey, good morning, and welcome to the Roundtable panel and to our discussion this morning. We welcome you, and it's very nice to have you on the program, have you with us for the program. Well, let's face it. We're excited. We're happy. We're delighted. Rosemary Armeo is finally back.
I'm glad to be back.
Good morning. So how much do you want to say of what you went through?
Well, it was a lot of people have been through it. I'd love your advice. Lumbar spinal fusion back on December 21st. It was much harder than I thought it would be, but I'm recovering. I'm not on any kind of pain pills at all, which has been...
So that's different than usual.
For about a year and a half, yeah. I've been flying
high. Which accounts for a lot.
Now I have a clear head. My back still hurts, but you know, it's only been 3 weeks, so
yeah.
I'm walking a little. I have this huge, very attractive corset brace on and a cane.
It is attractive.
So, yes. Yes. Quite lovely.
I have one on as well.
For a different reason,
exactly.
Actually.
Yes.
Well, it's delightful to have you back.
Thank you.
We missed you.
There's
horribly.
There's been lots of stuff happening. I have lots of opinions
God.
To let loose.
We say this all the when a story comes up, we're like, oh God, we wish Rosemary were here.
Yeah,
this would take 20 minutes if Rosemary were here. So you're here. We have a lot to talk about, and it's great to have you here. Let me introduce the rest of the panel. WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Big Joe. I notice you have a rather unique shirt on today. Is that the first time you've worn it?
No.
It's very lovely. Very, very nice.
I don't know if plaid is exactly unique on me.
I've never seen anything like it before.
No, but it's really quite...
He's had
really
that before.
So I wear a lot of plaid.
Yeah.
It's sort of the yellow in the pattern.
The Madras plaid.
Okay, you put me down and now I'm leaving.
Sit down.
It's that easy?
Get in that chair.
I'm out.
It's that easy? We should have done that years ago.
I'm letting you leave, Shark Talk. Sit down.
I need my device so I can read the letter.
Oh, all right.
That's what it's all about.
See, that was shtick.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Play along. Yeah, get out. Go ahead.
All right. Just be careful when you maneuver around Rosemary.
Yeah, don't bump into me, please.
Yeah. Oh.
Ouch.
Are you going to be able to resume your NFL career?
Possibly
Good.
Not. I may have to give up football.
Right.
That's a shame.
Bending over is the part that I'd like to resume again. Oh, my God, you drop something on the floor, and it's like I have to call my poor mother to come and get it.
It seems like we could have... gone to break, and then he could have gotten that. But that's all right. Yeah, that's fine.
It's a Monday.
I didn't know that's where
Let's
he was
start.
Headed.
Let's start. I want
to
talk about Sean Penn.
What the hell is that about?
Whoa, my God. Ridiculous.
I said, well, this... Okay, here's the story. So we find out over the weekend that El Chapo, who escaped from a Mexican prison 6 months ago, was captured. And that's the beginning of the story. And you're like, oh, well, that's great. So I immediately put that story into the folder that I keep on my desktop of my computer that says, oh, well, we'll obviously discuss that story. We talked about when El Chapo escaped.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this now. Well, then, ding, 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 part two of the story comes out, what, Saturday night, right? Thanks to the folks from Rolling Stone magazine, who had commissioned this article for Sean Penn, the actor, Sean Penn, to interview El Chapo. And this was, there's a couple things to keep in mind, that this interview was done not that long ago.
October.
But there were, I think there were ongoing discussions throughout, right? Also, it was an exclusive interview, and ultimately it was the interview and the interception of information in the setting up of that interview that helped law enforcement officials capture El Chapo. There are all kinds of things that we can talk about, but one of the most interesting is that what the New York Times asked in the paper this morning, or in their headline this morning, how Rolling Stone magazine handled a get with ramifications.
God.
So this is...
It's appalling. And this is Rolling Stone, the same publication that brought us the messed up, fake campus rape story last November. Now they followed up a year later with this and have said they went for a big, giant story hoping to get out from under the shadow of the rape story. Mm. And you have to admit, you know, if I had a chance to interview El Chapo, you know, this huge narco trafficker, yes, you'd want to go after it. But what conditions were set were ridiculous. First of all the questions were submitted to him ahead of time. No recording devices were allowed by Sean Penn, the alleged journalist in this. El Chapo had the right to review what was written, and it was edited with John Wiener, the publisher of Rolling Stone. And it is like one celebrity interviewing another. It's a mutual admiration society thing. So what you have is El Chapo presented as Robin Hood, as this man who could save the country if he wanted to, the mastermind of the biggest criminal enterprise in the world. It turns him into a hero. That's the worst thing you do when you're covering corruption and crime, is to turn the bad guys into some sort of wonderful outlaws and heroes. It's like the pulp fiction of the 19th century in the Wild West. Terrible juvenile. And have you read the story?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's as much about Sean Penn as it is about
Surprise.
El Chapo. Yeah. My favorite part is when he's going to the bathroom at El Chapo's hideout, and he's looking down at his member thinking how vulnerable it is, and he waves a fond goodbye to it and tucks it away. Give me a break.
Okay, Rosemary's back.
So my question to you, Rosemary, since you're on a roll, is so are you telling us if those were the specifications for allowing you in to, as a journalist, to talk to El Chapo, that you would not have taken that deal?
Well, I'm a real journalist, and I don't think any real journalist could have said, no, I don't want to go talk to El Chapo. I would have gone in, I would have agreed to anything, and then broken all the rules. He's a freaking criminal. You can do whatever you want.
Well,
and then for them to take the high horse saying, well, we let him look at it, but he didn't really change anything. Why did he have to change anything? He handpicked who was going to interview him. He takes these namby-pamby little questions from them. They adore him. Read the story. Sean Penn's comparing
But
Scarface in the movie.
I want to pursue my examination, if I may.
Would I have done it? Yes, I would have gone to talk to him.
But then you said...
But it wouldn't have been a fluff piece. It would have been...
Real interview.
Right.
I mean, I read the questions thinking, okay, let's see what's in here. That his questions are, do you consider yourself a violent man? That's a question?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, let's pair it with how many people is he responsible for?
Anyway, I found that interesting. But let's disagree on that for a moment. But let me go back to you. You said you're a real journalist. You'll do it. You do that. But
right.
My question to you then is, and you said you would break all the rules and you wouldn't follow it. That's exactly why people hate journalists, because they say you're off the record or you're...
No, she said that because he's a criminal.
Yeah.
It wouldn't apply because he's a criminal, because he's an on-the-lam criminal.
I would do whatever I had to get the interview.
Yes.
I would explain to my readers that I did it, and I was deceitful to him in doing it, but I thought that being deceitful to a criminal was okay, because here's what I found out about it.
And
what have we found out from this by-the-books, all-ethical and transparent interview? Nothing.
And part of the rules that you would break would be to tip off the police of where he is?
See, that's a really interesting thing to me because
yeah, who is he working
Sean
for?
Sean Penn didn't know he was tipping off the police. Sean Penn, if you read all the stuff about him, he and Kate DiCastillo, the ridiculous Mexican actress who, I mean, if anybody, I was
Why
sick.
Is she ridiculous?
Because she's in love with this guy. I mean, I don't know if she's in love with Sean Penn. That's one of the questions I had left, but she's definitely head over heels for El Chapo. I was sick in bed. I couldn't read. I couldn't do So I watched Narcos, the documentary.
Yes.
Fabulous, fabulous series about Pablo Escobar. Well, Valeria, the TV person who builds up Pablo Escobar into a big man of the people hero, put Kate DiCastillo in real life, and that's what you have. That's what she's done. Whore. Awful, awful stuff. Awful stuff.
So they said they
agree. They agree to this.
She's very attractive.
She is very attractive.
She
yes,
says she's in the Daily News today in the New York Post.
Yes,
big full page picture.
Oh, yeah, ridiculous media.
Can we get
it's
her
awful.
Pain meds, please? Somebody, waiter.
And I say this not to for any other reason of her being
it's
attractive
shocking.
Is that she is an actress. She is.
She plays the Queen of the South, a drug lordess. An equal, a feminine counterpart to Guzman.
So what?
And, well, she put out in a series of tweets this lovely appeal to him, like, wouldn't it be great if he trafficked in love? Help heal the sick. Help do what the government of Mexico cannot. You are our hero, El Chapo. So he sends her flowers. They set up this tete-a-tete talking. And she's the one who brokers bringing in, you know, the Hollywood star who's going to make Guzman look great.
I'd like to register for a potential question here. We do read in the newspapers this morning that there was the way they got him was because of his ego and because he was reaching out in order to have this stuff done.
Yeah.
Do we absolutely know the full story here, Rosemary? In other words, do we know what Sean Penn's real role was? All I know is I read in the paper this morning in one of the rags that the U.S. attorney, our favorite Preet Bharara, was looking into his role in all of this.
He's being investigated. There's nothing in what he wrote, or he certainly hasn't talked since it came out, but there's nothing in what he wrote that indicated, you know, I was secretly hooked up with the feds to catch him, or I worked with the Mexicans. I mean, he didn't work at all with the Mexicans trying to catch this guy.
All I'm saying is we just don't know yet the full story. That's all I'm
saying. I think he was as incompetent in covering up his track talking to this guy as he was in doing an interview. He was out. He's a big starry-eyed over Shorty, the drug trafficker, went to have a talk with him, messed it up both for Shorty and for himself. I don't think he's going to win accolades for this.
A couple of quotes. Jan Wenner says that Mr. Guzman has said he did not speak English and seemed to have little interest in editing Mr. Penn's work. Jan Wenner says, quote, in this case, it was a small thing to do in exchange for what we got. That is one quote. The other quote, critics of Rolling Stone are unconvinced of the Rolling Stone magazine defense of their work. Andrew Seaman, who is the chair of the Ethics Committee for the Society of Professional Journalists, wrote in a blog post that, quote, allowing any source control over a story's content is inexcusable. And the final quote I will share with you, although there are many, that Marco Rubio, presidential candidate, referred to the interview as grotesque.
And Michael, one of our regular writers, wrote in, I'm surprised to hear Rosemary advocating for the censorship of an interview with a criminal considering her position on other similar situations.
I don't see how I'm inconsistent. This wasn't an interview, first of all. It was a fan talking to his hero.
It was like Entertainment Tonight.
It was.
You guys think but that has never happened before, that in order to get an interview, somebody gets good play?
In order to get an interview,
somebody gets a good idea what that means.
I mean, I think it's like Elliot Spitzer acting like a journalist on TV. I think you should leave journalism to the people who do it well, and that is not Sean Penn. And apparently it's not Rolling Stone anymore either. Also, I read that interview because if there had been anything, they were saying, wow, well, this is the only way we could have found that out. Okay, I can forgive everything. I do not find it in that interview. I invite any listener who thinks otherwise to tell me. He was allowed to boast about how big and bold he was as a as a narco trafficker. He boasted about his antics getting away with it. He's bigger than the Mexican government. How does that extend our knowledge at all about Mexico or about him?
Well, all I know is Melissa wrote, and she said, El Chaps and Rosemary. Rosemary, I love you. I hope you feel better soon. That's all.
Thank you.
One of the things that I find, I will say that when this story broke, I was kind of waiting for the backlash to come as to, oh, when are people going to start saying, well, what are you doing? What is this? And it took a little while, in my opinion, because of Alan's point, you have to find out what the conditions were, what went on, right. What happened. Yeah. But here is the big question, which I have not been able to find an answer to, is if El Chapo had not been located and caught on Friday, when would that interview have been published?
Well, they said that it was only finished, the editing and the ongoing, you know, give me more information about this. Here's the video we're sending you, because they weren't allowed to shoot their own video, another unethical thing. That happened only 3 weeks ago. So it's just the scheduling of publication in Rolling Stone made it as soon as possible after it took place. I think they actually were upset that he got caught. It would have been a better story if he were still on the loose and they could say, oh, we're the only ones who have found him. But I think they screwed up even hiding their meeting. Penn writes that he was sure that his email and his movements were being tracked by DEA and Mexican officials, but they were taking steps to elude them, and they failed even at that.
What do we know of the journalistic work of Sean Penn?
Well, he's not a journalist.
Well,
he's an
actor. He's done this before, right?
When?
I don't know.
Well, I know Jan Wenner has said that, you know, if I read a quote from Jan Wenner that said, if you read his work and you know his work, and it made it sound like he had done similar. I mean,
he's
obviously
an activist. He's an activist in Haiti. He's done stuff there, and he has talked with. He was involved with Chavez in Venezuela.
But he has not written for the magazine before, as far as we know, correct?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, it's got to be a huge thing for them.
Look, you know, I'm no snob about journalists. I think if you do journalism, you can be called a journalist no matter what. I think Jon Stewart is a journalist. I think Oprah Winfrey does many journalistic things. This was not an act of journalism. It was an act of fandom. Oh, let me tell you about my hero. I met him in a really secret, wild place, and I was nervous, and it was exciting, and here's what I found out. There were guns and pretty women. It's awful. It's adulatory. It makes a bad guy who has hurt the entire world look good. That's not journalism.
Well, not surprisingly, we have a lot of letters as a response, so we're going to take a break. We're going to collate them.
No.
And we will put them together and Alan will read them to us when we return. We have a quick break coming up. We'll continue our conversation roundtable at WAMC.org. Welcome back to the roundtable as we remember David Bowie, who passed away at the age of 69 of cancer, which that news reported this morning. And so we're playing many different tunes from David Bowie this morning. And you know, it's interesting, right? Because there's so many different styles and elements.
Yeah, eras of Bowie.
I mean, even the latest album had a jazz flair to it. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, I haven't heard the new one yet.
Yeah. It's,
it just came out.
Yeah, came out Friday.
Hard to hear.
Well, let's go back to our letters. We have many. thank you, Rosemary. And we will we'll go through those, and then we'll continue our conversation because we have a lot of other stuff to talk about.
Okay, here we go. Mal says, folks, Rolling Stone continues crash dive following rape hoax and McChrystal knockdown, zero credibility. Rosemary's dead wrong on ethics of getting an interview. Sometimes you have to pass. Wayne says, Sean Penn is an outlaw in Hollywood terms, looking for clues for his next role, and basically a self-centered jackass from things I've heard him say in the past. He hung around Charles Bukowski. I asked everybody here who Charles Bukowski was. Nobody knew. In a similar way, stick to acting and giving away money to good causes. And then Terry says, regardless about how you feel about Sean Penn or Kate Del Castillo, does anyone else think it odd that these two could find El Chapo and manage to contact him when law enforcement on at least two continents could not? Terry.
Well, they contacted him, right?
Yeah.
No, he got hold of them. He was in contact with Kate Del Castillo.
Right.
Mm.
But, I mean, it wasn't them getting a hold
I
of
think
him.
That, I think that... the Mexican government, people in the Mexican government and in the U.S. government could have gotten hold of him and knew basically where he was, too, whether they act on that knowledge is something else.
Julia says, Rosemary, as long as the market for illegal drugs exists, criminal drug cartels will continue to thrive. What do you suggest we do about the demand side here in the U.S.?
That's Sean Penn's point in his article, that it isn't really that El Chapo is so bad. It's just that we Americans consume so many drugs, which is an argument I don't disagree with. The war on drugs should take place in the United States. Stop the
Sam wrote one that was too long. His point was women are always talking about their private parts. Why can't men talk about their private parts, you know?
They can, but it's disgusting when anyone does it.
Okay, fair enough. Adam says, David Bowie was a personification of a multimedia artist, an incredible talent, and by all appearance, a wonderful human being. That's Adam from Florida. And Marley says, no. Let's see. Michael says, too funny. What? I don't know what that is. Okay. Sydney, I'm surprised to hear Rosemary use the word whore as an insult to a woman. There are plenty of other words Rosemary could use to express her dislike without using sex-negative, slut-shaming language. Isn't slut one of those words that...
She has the hots for El Chapo and possibly for Sean Penn. I think whore is the word that fits. But I'm willing to use other ones,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, people can have the hots for people without being a whore.
She just sold away, I don't know, the integrity, the truth. It's very distressing.
Oh, okay. So Michelle says, read the so-called interview, in quotes, just one more demonstration of what we, in quotes, seem to do best. Take every perversion, narcissism, crime, and atrocity and glamorize it to make it entertainment for public consumption and big bucks, of course. No wonder the world is in such a dire strait, not to mention our politics. Tim says, how is it that Rolling Stone and Penn aren't criminally involved in aiding a fugitive? That's why.
How did they aid him?
Well, we don't know.
By not turning him in?
Yeah, maybe. That's why I said that Preet Bharara was conducting an investigation.
I don't know why. I think the First Amendment's going to protect him on that. I mean, they went in there to get information. They didn't help him in any way. That's far-fetched to me.
Tina says, and I know Tina well, for Rosemary to use the term whore is despicable, reinforcing gender-disparaging language to refer to women just because she doesn't like her sets back women's equality.
Oh, baloney.
The level
Come on,
of,
baloney on that.
The level
the Kate Del Castillo did it. She sold away her integrity and her behavior was appalling. She did it for money and fame.
Yeah.
For money and fame. She's now all look at her. Look at her on the internet. Alan knows who she is today.
I do.
And
I do.
That is that when you sell something in this way, it is definitely prostitution.
So Penn is one as well.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
But he's a star.
Tina just finishes saying, the level of discourse this morning is distressing, but then she writes a correction. The verb shouldn't be doesn't. Typing error in my previous email. Well, okay, whatever. Father Bruce says, you would think El Chapo having learned from the Stanley McChrystal interview in Rolling Stone.
You know what that is. He was the general in Afghanistan.
Oh,
who
yeah.
spoke very
right.
openly about his disdain for Barack Obama, and he ended up
and he
fired.
Got into a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And should have. And Joel says, good morning. Great to have Rosemary back. Wow, El Chapo has her all fired up. Joe, don't mention the TSA. She might explode.
Oh, boy.
And
I have stuff to say about that. Did you see the story in the Times Union? It was written, a columnist, by a man who really hates flying as much as I do. It was so funny.
George,
I may bring it in and read
there were
it.
Some TSA stories while you were gone,
yes,
actually.
I know.
Yeah, go ahead.
George says, Rosemary, you're just jealous. Journalism is not a priesthood. George, that's George. Journalism is not a
jealous
priesthood.
Jealous of what?
Oh, I am. There's truth to that. It's
yeah.
a wonderful get. There's no journalist who would not want to talk to El Chapo. But we would not have done it under those circumstances. We would have asked real questions. There would have been real thought as to whether we were going to help people catch him, the authorities catch him, or protect him. I think this was just done so haphazardly and without planning.
Bonnie says, aha, she's on a tear. Rosemary, offer pills is a force of nature. You go, gal. and then Stu says, shh. I don't know that. I don't get that one. Okay. If I don't get it, I'm not reading it because it might turn out to be not good. Bowie has a house here in Woodstock, New York. Maybe someone you all know knows more about it than I do.
Hmm.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know. No, I just don't get it all. I'm reading as I go, but there's all this other stuff about like what's for lunch and Copake.
No,
you know, all that stuff. And so, you know, I think that's it for now. Wait a second. Wait a second. Ted.
did you miss this, Rosemary?
Wait a second. Ted.
Ted forgot said, about it. Yeah.
Women use the B in conversation, media, TV, online all the time. Disgusting. Why have women allowed that for so long? What's the B?
I don't know.
We don't want to know, do we? North.
You got any second all?
Naomi says, bravo, Rosemary. Glad to have you back. Wayne says, Charles Bukowski is the infamous barroom poet who lived a rough life and wrote poignantly about it and became famous for shame on you, Roundtable, for not knowing him.
Yeah, I still don't know what it is. I have
shame
to
on you. I like those people who say, shame on you, shame on them.
As a teacher, I always hated that. You know, you can't blame somebody for not knowing
yeah.
something.
So have you ever heard of the lumpen proletariat?
Yes.
You know who they are? People
they
who
are
going
to
like it or lump it. Okay, so there's that. Okay, let's see here. John says, how do you ask the tough questions when in the jungle with these people? Those people. Also, was he not planning to go back for a more in-depth interview? Perhaps this explains the soft questions.
He did indeed say that he wanted a follow-up interview. He wanted to stay behind and meet with El Chapo. And El Chapo said, well, I just hardly know you. Let me check it out maybe in a week. And nothing ever happened as far as a follow-up interview. They did send some video material to the Americans.
Can we move on?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank God. Okay. So we're going to take
Please.
A break. When we come back, we'll go to other topics, and we will head into other waters. We'll get Rosemary upset about something else. We'll be right back after this.
Support comes from the Nature Conservancy's Adirondack chapter, working to preserve freshwater resources that flow from the Adirondacks to New York's urban centers, nature.org/Adirondacks. Interactive Media Consulting, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing logo and print design, web development, and digital marketing throughout the capital region and beyond. Marketing creative and business ideas since 1996. imediaconsult.com. And from the Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz, an undergraduate theater program in liberal arts with concentrations in design and technology, theater studies, and performance. newpaltz.edu/theatre. I wish I could swim.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Monday morning, the 11th of January. Very nice to have you with us. Let's get to other issues, topics. We have been talking a lot about El Chapo and Sean Penn, but there are other issues to discuss.
It's true. But, Joe, just one more, if I may. Michael says, all Bowie all the time. Lemmy Kilmister died 2 weeks ago and not a peep. Take it back. Take it back. I say take it back. Go ahead, Joe. Tell us.
Well, we have obviously we weren't on the air when that happened. But we covered it extensively. It was on here. It was on BBC. It was
NPR,
on NPR. Did
our
a beautiful piece. We did a lot. We played music, so that we did that. And also, I don't. I think you know.
Some Motorhead bumper music would be pretty great, though. I gotta say.
But it's not perhaps up to the. All musicians, all art. But David Bowie was really at the top.
Yeah.
I mean, that was however many decades of just incredible work six decades of just amazing work. So anyway.
So take it back.
Well, now's not the time to make a shot.
What?
To make that kind of a shot at us. I mean.
Yeah, well, especially when you don't know what you're talking about.
Ooh.
Ouch.
We love your letters.
Meanwhile, let's do some political stuff. So Ted Cruz over the weekend, as we inch closer to Iowa and New Hampshire, the Iowa caucus, the New Hampshire primary, we have polls coming out that say that, many things. But first of all, that Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, are neck and neck in Iowa.
You could say they're necking.
We also see that in New Hampshire, that in both states, that Bernie Sanders is doing quite well in the polling as well. And which brings us to this question, because there is a close race on the Republican side between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. Donald Trump has now gone on the defensive against Ted Cruz, which he had sort of been backing off from for many weeks in the campaign. Went after his citizenship, and Ted Cruz came out and officially said it's clear and straightforward that he is a natural-born U.S. citizen, something that many have questioned, including leading the charge of really putting the story back into the news cycle, Senator John McCain, who, of course, has not been silent in his dislike of Senator Cruz. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think it's clear. I would say that we no longer need the constitutional protection against a foreign-born person running for president. That made sense in the 18th century. I don't think we need it now, and I'd like to see it eliminated. But that said, it isn't really clear. Cruz is interesting. He has an American mother. His father was a Cuban emigre, came first to the U.S. and then goes to Canada and was a Canadian citizen when Ted Cruz is born in Canada. So, you know, that's kind of indirect. Then they end up coming back into Texas, and the father becomes an American citizen, and Ted Cruz has a dual citizenship in Canada and America until he gives up the Canadian citizenship.
Recently.
2 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah, 2 years ago when his political ambitions were beginning to become apparent. So, no, it isn't clear at all. And it's, for me, I think there are many reasons not to vote or to like that man. Where he's born is not one of them, but I do thoroughly enjoy the hypocrisy of Republicans being debating this after what they did to Barack Obama, who truly is American-born and a natural citizen.
You bet. Well, it's interesting because there is an assumption, because it's one of these things that has not reached the Supreme Court, but there is an assumption that what you've just said is correct, that is, if you have one natural-born parent, you're eligible to run. So that's the assumption, but it has not gone to the court.
And it's happening to a person who has said natural citizens born here, kids born here, even if, you know, they're Mexican parents or whatever, just sneak them in the country to get an anchor. Remember the whole anchor sure. baby thing? Cruz is in the middle of that. And he said, no, they should not be citizens. Yet he's claiming it for himself. And the father's history, again, is really fascinating to read. He sneaks into the United States, if you will. He's an illegal. He was an emigre at a time when Castro was pushing people out. He ends up with a student visa and then gets asylum when that student visa runs out. Isn't this exactly the sort of person that Ted Cruz is now arguing should not have the protection of asylum and the chance to grow up in the United States? And yet his own father did it. He benefited from himself. The hypocrisy of that just kills me.
One of the other things in talking about this race that we want to talk about just for a second is the poll, are the poll numbers. Hillary Clinton holds a 3-point edge over Senator Bernie Sanders in Iowa, a tightening of the race, which roughly 3 weeks until voting begins, according to a new set of surveys of likely voters from the NBC Wall Street Journal Marist poll. In the Republican contest, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas has 28% of support. Donald Trump has 24% in Iowa, but Mr. Trump maintains a commanding 16-point lead over Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, his closest competitor in New Hampshire. According to the surveys, Mr. Rubio is in third place in Iowa at 13%, with Ben Carson at 11%. The other candidates are at 5% or less in the state.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be said here. The Times recently had a very interesting piece, we discussed it, about why the polls were so wrong often these days.
Yes.
And one of those reasons is that young people, my kids, we're not that young anymore, all have cell phones. Nobody has a landline in their house anymore. and so if, in fact, the young will turn out for Bernie, then the 4 points that he is behind Hillary may turn out to be not valid. But we don't know. But this is going to be a big test because, you know, to me, Bernie is a hero for many of the young people in this country. And therefore, now I'm getting mail because, you know, I've announced that I like Bernie. I'm getting a lot of mail from people who are saying to me, come on, Alan. If Bernie is the presidential candidate, the Republicans will win. I get them over and over and over again. And I don't know if that's valid or not. But Bernie is very different for this country as an announced socialist candidate, as somebody who really does believe that the country has its values screwed up.
I'm stopped looking at the polls. They're just the numbers are coming out every day. There's new numbers and they're confusing. We have an electorate who clearly has not made up their mind, and there are close races on both sides. But here are some other things to look at too, and the coverage is getting interesting in the race. One is Hillary Clinton is making all kinds of strides at the micro level of campaigning. She has come out recently with views and ideas on maternity care, college loans, ADD, HIV, things that people care about and are talking about. And she's got actual policies on it. I think she's got a depth and a breadth that Bernie just does not have. And I like Bernie Sanders.
I think he's just
a very limited candidate.
I hear you. I think
and
that's a
Hillary is incredibly... she is experienced and competent, and yet, all the trust things, yes, blah, blah, blah. That's an interesting race. But the Republican race still, to me, is the really interesting one.
I think you poo-poo the trust thing, blah, 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 a little too quickly. If it comes to a general election, I think the trust thing, blah, 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 is going to be enormous.
It depends on who the Republican candidate would be. So say it's Trump.
Well, okay. Can I back up just for a second? So, because I want to explore what you're talking about. But to Ray's point, too, If the polls are correct, if these particular, this set of polls, and there's been three of them, one NBC poll,
one after another.
Okay, and there's some that have Bernie as far as 13 points ahead of Hillary Clinton in both Iowa and New Hampshire. So let's just say Senator Sanders wins both of those states. What impact does that have on the Hillary Clinton campaign?
Well, I think, of course, it would hurt her. I mean, how can you argue otherwise? Of course,
because it would incentivize other people who feel the same way. On the other hand, Rosemary, I wanted to respond to your earlier point about Hillary. Look, I've interviewed her. I respect her. But there is a sense in this country that she's too married into the establishment. And that, I think, is what is hurting her with, you know, the banks and the other people. That is hurting her with a lot of the up-and-coming young people.
It is, and the media hammers on that, and so does Bernie. And what we have, plainly, you can see it on the Republican side, is this hankering for someone who is unmoored from traditions of politics in the past.
Yes, that's
true,
both sides.
And so we could end up very much with a Trump candidacy. And so what is it that people who support Trump want? They want nothing like the past. They want change. Well, I think there would be change, but what the heck kind of change would it
yep.
be? Time magazine has a really fascinating cover story on how Trump won and whether or not he gets the votes. He's already won. He has uncoupled politics from the practices of the past. The media doesn't matter anymore. The political party bosses don't matter anymore. The donors don't matter anymore. These candidates are appealing directly through technology. Trump
All
uses
great
Instagram.
Points, Rosemary.
Right, directly to the people. So, okay, he's appealed to them. He's got their vote. What are they going to get if he's in there? So for the very things that many people are knocking Hillary Clinton for, I want that still in place. I want a connection to the traditions and the institutions of the past.
To the power structure who have created the largest rich-poor change in the country?
Yes, I think they're the ones who
want?
Could. I think they're the ones who could undo it, who could change things. I'm not so sure a Trump can or a Cruz.
Yeah, but a Bernie?
I don't think Bernie knows how to manipulate the institutions to get what he wants. I think he's a wonderful talker. He brings up fabulous philosophy. I'm glad that Hillary is fighting against him. It will make her a better candidate, but I can't see him doing it, no.
Well, okay, but you understand why Hillary is in trouble this time as she was the last time.
I'm not so sure she's in trouble yet. I want to see the election. All we have are these very confusing and duplicative polls. But they also still continue to show that she's a top candidate on both sides in any sort of an election. She is a
well,
top candidate.
Yeah, but
so how much
yeah,
trouble
but we're
is
not
that?
Talking about more than a couple of points in some cases.
She doesn't have a lock
within the
saying.
Margin of error.
Absolutely,
she doesn't have a lock. She's not coronated, and if she did about to be coronated, if she did have that, then we'd be knocking
okay,
over something
so
else.
So Bernie's, you know what Bernie's pitch is?
About half a minute.
Rich and poor, right? And it gets worse and worse. The richer get richer, and the poorer get poorer. Do you think if Hillary Clinton is elected president, and I really ask you this, she has the ability to put a stop to that?
Yeah, I think she does. I think Bernie may want to do it, and he doesn't have the ability to do it. I think it's way harder to
and
move
sure
anything
Hillary,
in our government
and
than
you're sure
one
Hillary
person.
Does want to do it?
Yeah, I think she does want change, yeah.
Well, that's not very Clintonian in terms of its history.
I don't know what that's based on, but...
We'll end there.
Starting with health care, Alan, but okay, we'll pick this up tomorrow,
you'll be back
right?
Tomorrow.
I'll be back, yes.
That's right. I just realized this... Rosemary is now holding her cane that she now has a weapon in the
yeah.
studio.
Yeah. Believe me. I noticed early.
Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, and Rosemary Armeo, thank you very much for being with us. We will have another discussion tomorrow. Keep your letters coming. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this report.
Great show.